Before we start.
All right. Good morning. Welcome. I'm here today with Marcellus Mike Ferjone.
That's right.
Let him do a little bit of an intro, but I just want to say real quick, Mike personally has changed my life. I think some things we're going to talk about today is when I was a youth going from high school into an actual career. Mike was really there for me, helped me out with recommendations, different things to look at, different places to apply for jobs, and really was there for me as far as growth, as far as leadership feedback, different goals that I need to set, and kind of really helped me get to where I am today. He's a big hero of mine. Usually we do this at Tim Hortons over coffee every weekend, and a lot of the feedback and stuff we have, we decided to record it. So with that being said, Marcellus Mike, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Good morning. Well, it'll take me 15 minutes just to say my name. That's what somebody always says. But I've been in the oil and gas industry for about 35 years, 8 different companies, 13 different career hats. I always say that's why I'm losing my hair, all those hats. But you had to, especially back in the day when I got into the business, there was a lot more layoffs than there were, you know, times that you worked, it seemed like. But in order to, I figured it out. I said, when I first got laid off, second time I got laid off, I said, I got to learn another career field so I'm not the guy. I was a young guy at that time, so I'm not the guy getting laid off. So I started off in the business. I got my degree in geology. And fortunate enough, and this is what I tell, I do a lot of talks in schools, a lot of job and career talks in Sean's former high school, my daughter's here in Pennsylvania. And I tell those kids that you've got to, like I said, wear a bunch of different hats. And I got my degree in geology first and internship. That's where I was going with that. You got to get an internship if college is your direction, especially in the oil field. You have to get an internship with either an E&P company or a service company. And I was fortunate enough going into my junior year that former alumni of this college that I went to in Western New York came back and he talked to the chairman of the department and said, "Hey, I'm looking for a geology student. We'd like him to come in and be an intern for us in the summer." And so that opened the door. And then when I got in and I started learning about the oil and gas industry, which I didn't know anything about, when I was going to college, I was, the little town where I went to school was actually the site of the first commercial natural gas well. It was actually drilled in 1825 in this town, ironically. So So anyway, I got into that company. I was like, holy cow, this is it for me, I said, I think I found my niche, and I could do it, it was only a half hour where I lived and grew up. It was going on in Western New York, Northwestern PA at the time. So got in, and then when I first got hired into the business, though, about a year later with that company, they said, "Mike," they said, "hey, we don't have a job in the geology department. We need a land manager. So you sit in this chair, we'll teach you that side of the business. And then when things open up in the geology department, then we'll get you in there." Well, I learned that end of the business, thank God, the land end of the business, because in 2 years, I started in 83, in 1985, price of oil went down to $10 a barrel, natural gas under $2 an MCF.
Which is unbelievable, even think about
it. Oh yeah, it's horrendous. Yeah. You're done. Yeah. Everything, life as we know it in the oil field, shuts down.
Yeah.
All the engineers and geologists, though, they got laid off. They couldn't find work. Guess what? I could still find work because I knew the land end of things. Driving home, 24 years old, have a wife and a son. What am I going to do? I didn't even have a chance to collect unemployment. Within a week, one of my land contractors that I hired back in the day, or for that company, I thought I muted that, sorry about that, I thought I muted this stupid thing, there we go, okay,
The land company.
Yeah, that company said, hey, Mike, you know, we heard you lost your job. Yeah, I did. Why don't you come to work for us? And ironically, I made, and they said, listen, you can work from your house. And I liked the job. I liked the oil field, but I didn't like the circumstances of the company that I was working for, Sucoat and Ty at the time, downtown. Wasn't me. I'm more of a field. I thought of myself as
boots
more of a field guy. Boots on the ground. Yeah, you know. So that Suco and Ty thing, corporate stuff, just wasn't for me. So yeah, work from your house, $6,000 more a year. You know, you put together your prospects, go in and do your title, you know, do your land work, the whole nine yards. I said, wow, this is it. Yeah, this is cool. So did that for a year. I actually traveled around a little bit up here in Appalachia, all over New York, Pennsylvania, and down in a little town called Middlesboro, Kentucky, which kind of grew me up. Never really seen real Appalachia.
Until then.
Yep, rope bridges, dirt floors, and it was a beautiful area. It met a lot of great people, but that kind of grew me up, Sean, in the business. At one time, growing up in high school, I was a real shy, timid type of guy, and when you have a bundle of leases underneath your arm, and back then there was no cell phones, you know, in 1985.
So you're forced to go face to face.
Exactly. Cold contact, knock on the door, and you got to know your stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're a landman, you got to know that contract inside and out. You're sitting down with people that they've owned this property for 100, or families own it for 100, 200 years or whatever. And they're entrusting you, you know, their land and whole way of life over to you in this agreement. So, but
do you think that benefited you later in your career as far as now, like with the communication aspect and that being comfortable speaking to people randomly?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. When you got to think on your feet like that, you know, and you're sitting down at somebody's kitchen table, you know, a farmer or whatever. And you have to be comfortable, like in your own skin kind of a thing. And I always prided myself on being, you know, being honest with people. If I didn't know something, I tell them I'll get back to them. Or I said, everything is going to be in this lease. We write everything down. There's no verbal. And so, yeah.
Yeah, handshake agreement. Just.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people wanted to do that old school handshake. You can't do that. Unfortunately,
especially,
you know,
in modern times now, right?
Yeah, in modern times, yeah, you can't do it with all the shale stuff going on. But and then from there, I went out on my own, had my own land contracting type business, did that close to home, and then when you know it, a position opened up with a really kind of a startup type company. I became their landman and geologist, and then I learned a little bit about drilling completions. And also well tending. 13 years I spent with that company, and they always say, just like I came into your life, you know, move down the road, live, you know, build a house in your neighborhood, you know, and ironically
couldn't get me stopped hanging around the house, and finally just took me in. Huh?
Exactly, just took you in, you know. Yep, another son. But yeah, now where was I going with that? Sometimes I lose track because I'm thinking about a whole bunch of different things.
So, I mean, basically, you had done the landman, you'd gone in, started getting to well tending.
Yeah, that's completion. Thanks, Sean. Yep, yeah. Sometimes you got to get me back on track. We're looking for a guy, a production guy. I didn't really do anything in production, and the company said, listen, we want to hire a production guy. We got you as geologist landman. Okay, we need a production guy. We've got 100 wells. This company was real small. 100 wells. We want to do, you know, we still want to start do some drilling and all that. But we needed production guys. So I was out on the drilling rig and I was talking to the one driller there. I said, yeah, I know a guy. So got his resume, brought him in. And they always say, like I said, somebody comes into your life. Thank God for that guy. He's now since passed away. Really, really good friend of mine. Another brother that I never had. But he taught me how to well tend. He said, Mike, we're going to take the well tending responsibilities off from our contractors, because that time we had all contractors doing our well tending. You're going to get 60 wells. I'm going to get 60 wells. And along with everything else, we're going to teach you how to well tend. So thank God I did. And that's just another facet of the business. That's what's kind of cool about this business.
And that gets you through a downturn, right? I
mean, exactly. You always say,
there.
Get close to the wellhead.
The closer you are to the wellhead, the better off you are.
Exactly.
Right?
When the drilling slows down, the rigs go away, fracking slows down, whatever. everything slows down. They always need well tenders, always need, you know, guys that work on the wells, you know, service rigs and all that stuff. So did that 13 years and then had to fall back. That company went out of business after 13 years and went out on my own again. I had my own contract well tending company because I could well tend now, right? Plus land, I was doing that too. Came down to Pennsylvania and did that, and then went back home, worked for a smaller E&P company up in Western New York, and then one of the big guys in Pennsylvania at the time who I'd been working for as a contractor was ready to hire somebody like me with my experience, geology and the whole nine yards and drill. They said, we need a drilling completion production engineer and we think you could fit that. And so worked for
drilling
them.
Drilling completions and production.
Drilling, so completion, and production.
Jack of all trades, right?
Exactly.
Being willing to do whatever you need to do.
Exactly. Then I knew, like, and I told my wife, we'd have to move to Pennsylvania. And we lived 40 years at the time in Western New York. Kids went to the same school as my wife and I. You know, relatives are all there. So
comfortable.
It was comfortable.
Know the whole area.
Yeah. Pulled up stakes.
Major challenge.
Yeah. Exactly. And I said, but I told my wife, I said, I could see retirement from this company. This is where all the action's at. And so we did it. You know, it wasn't easy at first, but, you know, the kids adapt and everything like that. You know, they went to the same high school as you. And it's a great area here. And so I worked for that company and drilled and completed about 700 wells for them. And in the meantime, they wound up being the first company in Pennsylvania to complete a big slick water frack in a Marcellus Shale, you know, at the time, and that was 2004.
The Renswell?
Yep, the Renswell. Yep, Little Range Resources, we always used to say. Yeah, that was Range Resources.
My Range Resources?
Yep, really awesome company, you know. As I said, I worked for them for 10 years, it was awesome. And I've seen sat a lot of their completions down there, learning the ropes, you know, on shale, with shale, and then...
When you got into PR, a little bit of PR, though, too, right?
Right, well...
Started to ignite your passion for kind of...
Exactly. 2008 rolls around, they said, listen, all our conventional drilling, I was doing conventional Medina sand wells up in northwestern PA, and they said, listen, we're going all shale, we're not doing that anymore. If you kind of want to stay with the company, you got to come down to, you know, Washington County, PA area and learn the ropes down here. So told my wife, hey, we got to head down there, I got to do it. So learn the ropes, was a senior completion engineer, and then I was in charge of their water, senior completion engineer in charge of all their water operations. And then late 2008 rolls around and we started hiring a PR team, and I had to teach the public relations department about a frick from a frack, you know, that kind of a thing, you know, so.
Oh, yeah, and you know, everybody's kind of, that's when it's blowing up in Washington, right?
Oh, yeah,
like, rigs
yeah.
are coming in and people are starting to question, like, well, what's going on in our area?
Yes, exactly, yep, so, and then it was like, hey, Mike, I think we need you in the public relations department full time, are you interested? And I said, yeah, I'd be interested, but first of all, do I get to keep my engineer salary? And they said, yeah, no problem. I said, all right, I'm in.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Sign the dotted line.
Exactly, yeah. Sign the dotted line. So I said, I've got something, though, that I want to do. I said, I always wanted to be a teacher. And I said, I want to get in, and I seen this up at the Drakewell Museum. They do a lot of, there's a lot of field trips that the schools take at the end of their school year, and I seen it firsthand what those museum employees do. Teaching these, you know, young, impressionable, school-age kids about our business. And I said, man, we don't even do that well. So let me get in to the local schools, elementary, middle,
that's
high school.
That's where it starts, right?
Yes.
Boots on the ground.
Create a connection. You know, because at the time, people knew Range Resources, you know, was there, but there was no connection with the local community. We hired people outside the area.
Yeah.
You know, so they didn't, there was nobody really local that lived there. They grew up there.
But this is for any oil company. I mean, not even.
Right, right.
No oil company in the past. I mean, I know it's modern times, so things have changed.
Right.
But there's always, I think, the one thing that the industry hasn't done a good job of is educating people or kind of including those people in on kind of what's going on. And I think that's why there's always been kind of those questions, right? And that's
exactly.
kind of the
exactly.
challenge you guys were facing.
Yep. So I go in, met a lot of teachers, a lot of students. Carried that tradition on 10 years later with different various other companies that I'd been with and whatever, and on my own. I do that on my own. I'm passionate about that because I think it's really important to have that connection. And like I said, when you go into an area like down there in Washington County, I mean, you're literally talking to your landowner's kids or grandkids.
So they're seeing it right out their back door.
Exactly. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, you know, we see, you know, Patterson Rig 360 over here. And then after a few years down there, I was like, yeah, my dad works or my brother works on this. And then all of a sudden I could see it building. So I seen it, you know, just like any area. I seen it here back in the day when we first started drilling in different areas of Pennsylvania and New York. The community starts building, more oil and gas workers live in the community, you know, which is kind of cool. So everybody has a you know, a vested interest. It's just like the coal mine days, you know, where there was a local mine like right in people's backyards and everybody worked
in
there.
The community.
Or a steel mill right in
someone's
their community.
Brother, or yeah. Uncle, sister, you know, someone's involved in it no matter what.
Yeah. And so I carried that tradition on. So 10 years later, I've probably talked in over 500 schools and talked to 70,000 students.
Okay.
In the state of Pennsylvania.
And that's your passion now, right?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So you work for another producer, which we won't talk about, and you have another job that you're also doing to help still educate, right? So
right,
you're speaking
right.
in schools.
Yes.
And you have your other job.
Yep. So energy talk, geology talk, I cater it to a lot of the curriculum standards.
Okay.
You know, in different areas, and the teachers love it. Because I'm kind of like an expert that they don't know. I mean, I can delve into a little bit more things. Sean, I have, and you know, I have a sample of every rock from the surface all the way down the Precambrian basement in New York, Pennsylvania.
We have even some samples right here from an outcrop.
Yep.
Mike got.
Yep. Because most of the rocks that are underneath Pennsylvania and Ohio actually come to the surface somewhere in New York State. And so me being a geologist, I know where to go. And back early in my career, I said, hey, when I learn how to read a well log. I said, I want to be able to get every rock that's associated with the log signature on a well log so I can put it next to that and then use it as a teaching tool too for future geologists, interns that I've had or petroleum engineering interns. And I do that too today. I do a lot of mentoring, high school students. I do a lot of job and career talks. I'm available for that to come in. I do lunch and learns. You know, as well, I can come into, actually, it was a couple of different companies down in Washington, PA, that came into the area that former co-workers of mine at Range moved on to different companies. Hey, Mike, would you come in? And, you know, we got a lot of younger, you know, people coming into the business, and they don't know the whole realm of it all, you know what I mean, from start to finish. And so the land end of things, the geology, the drilling completions. And also I can talk to them about how to talk at their community events, you know, a town hall meeting or, you know, whatever.
And kind of what questions they're going to get.
Right.
How to round those questions out.
Yes, exactly. Yep. Okay.
So you're kind of all well-rounded, whether it's, you know, dealing with an actual company that's going to be dealing with the public.
Right.
Helping bring up young students or people looking for careers.
Mm-hmm.
And so the one thing I wanted to ask you about, I guess, is... So I know you've been involved with some schooling and stuff, and I've mm-hmm. came in and seen, you know, firsthand you teaching some of this youth. What kind of, other than the many hats and the things you talk about with your experiences and kind of coaching them through to get a career, what exactly do you have to offer them as far as, because I know you have like a training class.
That's correct, yeah. Yeah, I started, and I got approval by the company that I work for now. It's no conflict of interest or anything. But I do it pretty much on the weekends. I could do it at night too. Just real short-term training. One day of 6 to 8 hours or a couple of nights of teaching, like I said, entry-level workers, kids right out of high school, 18 years old, don't know what they want to do. You remember that day, Sean. Didn't know exactly what you... Well, you did know what you wanted to do. You wanted to go to college, but you found out...
I found out that I knew what I didn't want to do.
Exactly.
More what happened. So.
Exactly. You know, so and I could talk all day about this guy right here, and I have, you know, I've talked to Sean.
We'll save
Michael
that for
Clark.
A whole another podcast.
That's exactly right. You might have to go in the other room when I talk about him.
Yeah,
you know, that's the way he is.
My face will be like the shirt.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a great story, and it's a story of still brings tears to my eyes. You know, I remember. Like I said, Sean's dad was in the business, and then I just coincidentally moved into this area, and then like I said, Sean became another, like another son of mine. But Sean's story is typical of a lot of young people. You know, they don't know. And I mean, I luckily, I felt I had to go to college back in my day, or you know, it just wasn't anything else available. So I had to gut my way through it. But in today's world, you don't have to do that.
Especially in oil and gas industry.
Oh my God, yeah.
I mean, there's opportunity. I mean, if you want to take that route, you can. But
yeah, that's what's cool.
So many opportunities.
Yep. Short. Well, anyway, back to the what I'm doing. Short-term training. Yeah. And I talk about all facets of the business. You know, drilling, completion, production, the different service companies. Exactly. You know, water transfer, flow back, you name it. I'm not an expert in, you know, coil tubing, whatever. I'm not an expert in a lot of that stuff, but I know a little enough about it, you know, about all them different facets of the business. So they get that and they get an idea like, oh, okay, this is how we drill a well, complete a well, and where I can get a job, you know, as an entry-level worker. And then the other full days, 8-hour day will be a safety, PEC, Safeland Safety.
Which is huge. I mean,
exactly.
Most producers, you go to work on their well sites.
That's right.
You need it already.
And you got to have it.
And how long does that stay with you?
Yeah, that stays for life.
Yeah, so
that stays
you
for life.
Right there, hook, line, and sinker,
yep.
That's done.
You're good to go.
Ready to go to work.
And what I did, Sean, is I talked to several different service companies, water transfer, a couple of flowback company, roustabout companies, and they said, Mike, we are having a heck of a time getting workers. It's not that we're getting applications. We're getting hundreds of applications. We don't know these people. We're picking them, you know, out of the blue. Okay, let's pick this person. And they bring them in, you know, drug test and pre-screening and all that. And then, you know, some training, company training. And they get out there in the well pad and or what location, whatever, and they want to quit after 2 weeks. This isn't for me. Or they get fired. You know, it's hard to find somebody even that can pass a drug test today, which is tough. I mean, even people my age, it's crazy. But there is workers my age, I'll say my age, 57 years old. There's some workers out there that
they're trying to get a hold of you and kind of
yes, exactly.
They can take.
Yep. Okay. So we have it out there. We've been successful. A couple of different classes there. I just started a couple of months ago. The companies like it. Because what I told them is I'll pre-screen these workers. I'll tell them before I take a dime that they're going to work more days in a month than there are days in a month. They're going to work out in minus 20 degree weather and 120 degree weather, you know, and just exactly what they're going to, like I said, they're not going to see home for a while. It's but that's the way it's going
to
be.
You show them the equipment, the work
exactly.
environment. I mean,
yep.
You even had iron out for them to see when
exactly.
I was there, right?
Yep. So. I think I have everything but a drilling rig in my garage. Yeah, I got pieces and parts and everything like that over the course of 35 years, you know. So yeah, they get the full realm of it. And then what happens is what I told them is that even college degree students that come out and they got their degree,
well,
I can't find a job.
You had a couple of them in training, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They were geology?
Yep, I had two geology students, couldn't find a job. They just recently graduated and somehow connected with me. And I told them, listen, have you tried everything? Yeah, I've tried everything. I said, take my class. I'm going to get you out there in the well pad. And now you'll be able to network with a dozen different companies. It'll be a start for you. You'll be able to put it on your resume. And then after a few months, you'll be surprised what'll happen. And guess what happened after the last day of class that following week? I said, I'll get you a job. You're already in. You know, all you got to do is pass a drug test. So... But that following week, there was a position, these guys were going to be hired on the water transfer side of the business. Guess what? There was a position with Chevron, nonetheless, that came up. They needed a water specialist in the Pennsylvania district over here. And the only experience was a year of water transfer experience and a high school diploma. Well, those guys had that, and some of them had, well, they will have that in the course of a year. So that's how fast things can
they
move.
They can catch a, the
right.
next job, move, step up, level
now
up as the industry grows.
Yeah.
So the one point I wanted to make too is how many people were in that class?
Four.
Okay, so there's four people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very personable. I mean,
right.
you're right there. I mean, it's
right.
a lot of interaction.
Yep.
So out of those four people, they all got their certifications.
That's right.
How many of them walked out of there with a job?
Yep, all four.
Okay, and are they still working to the day?
Well, here's after 3 months, okay?
Yeah.
After a month or so, two of them got moved up in supervisory positions.
Okay, so they're excelling.
Exactly. Now, what happened is, Sean, in the meantime, my connections with different companies. Two mud logging jobs opened up, one of them in Midland, Texas. And I hooked up one of the guys with a geology degree with that. Guess what? He got hired on. So he moved on and got it, and he started. And somebody with a bachelor's degree in geology, that's pretty much one of the main ways that you have to get into the business. You're not going to get hired directly by an E&P company like a Chevron or a Range, you know, with just a bachelor's degree. You're going to have to start off as a mud logger.
Well, you're getting the hands-on experience.
Exactly. And then the other one in Youngstown, Ohio, got him a job. So there's two. The other young man wanted to move on and work with a larger company, a water transfer company and flowback company. So he progressed. He's making more money now and better working conditions. And then the other young man, I seen his mom and dad at our local church every weekend. You know, how's, you know, Alex doing? And, oh, you know, he's going to say. But I told him it'll do one of two things. I don't know if they were too crazy about him working in the oil field, but that's what he wanted to do. I said it'll do one of two things. He quit college. He quit school. He was going for engineering and didn't know what he wanted to do. So this happened to come up. So I got him a job. He made probably 12 grand in 3 or 4 months. So he has money in the bank. He decided.
So he wants to go back to college.
Well, that's what he decided.
That's not for him, right?
I told his parents it'll do one of two things. Either you'll stay in the business or you'll quit. Maybe it'll push him, say, like, listen, I think I'd like to go back to school. You know, there's
a lot of...
that's
something you talk to the, you know, everybody about.
Exactly.
When you first do the training.
And that's what it did.
Yeah.
He's going back to school.
And that's what I remember when I first started out. I mean, and you helped me,
yep,
you know, get a job. I mean, I remember the turnover was pretty large because a lot of people...
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's with your class. You kind of show what the expectations of the oil field,
yep,
actually are. So,
yep,
a lot of people don't realize, like,
how many
day in and day out schedule you have and all that.
Sean, remember another young man locally we got to know? He was a football player on the local college team. 6'4", 220 pounds, built, solid. You know, had a good work ethic, but couldn't find a job after he graduated and got him in with the same company that you started with. And he wound up quitting after 6 months. He just couldn't handle it. He goes, Mike, this isn't for me. You know, the shift work, the conditions, or whatever like that. So, and what it did for him is, you know, you can always have it on your resume. It's like all of these guys. Even if he quit, I said, but don't burn a bridge. Don't go out throwing, cussing, whatever like that. Or, you know, this is, you know, don't burn a bridge. Exactly. Just tell him, listen, this isn't for me, guys. Whatever company you're going to quit. And guess what? The one, all those guys could go back to that same company.
Well, and they'll take him because they don't have to train him again, right?
Exactly.
They know exactly what they
and they know do. They know what'll happen. A lot of these companies, they know it's a start for guys, and they know they're going to lose a lot of them to more money. There's other companies going to offer them more money, or they're going to progress and move up. But that's the same thing with me, Sean. Not too long ago, I actually could have gotten a job with the company I first started with in the business. They were looking for an engineer type like me. And
because you were willing to do whatever,
exactly,
you didn't burn a bridge. You
didn't burn a bridge.
You were flexible with what,
yep,
they wanted out of work expectations.
Yep.
They remember that.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's,
yep,
as big of an industry as it is, it's funny how small it is, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I mean, even now, I mean, I see people that I worked with that are from Africa, from the Middle East, that I worked with in Pennsylvania, that I see,
yep,
halfway across the country years later. You know,
that's right.
You never know.
Yep.
So, and some of those people, you know, now are, you know, I was below them or,
yep,
vice versa, you know, and it's funny how everything changes.
Yep. Yep.
So, so you're dealing with a lot of this youth. You're coming into these schools, you're speaking to people, you're talking about jobs.
Right.
What do you think, especially there's been a change of guard, right?
Mm-hmm.
As far as work environment and expectations out of the youth. Now,
right.
I'm at the kind of upper end of the millennials, but what do you think, especially for someone that's listening to this, what are some challenges or what do you think that they need to look for as far as a career or whatever, whether that's oil industry or what,
right.
I mean, what advice do you have for them?
Yeah. I would say, like I said, this is an opportunity where you'll be able to, you got to be able to work outside for one thing in the oil field. So, I mean, that's the first thing, but it's a chance for you to make a lot of money. I mean, because of the fact that you'll be able to work a lot of hours. I mean, you might start out 12, 13 bucks an hour.
That's a lot of overtime though, right?
But Sean, you know, I mean, you've been in the business, you know, since 2008, I mean, 10 years. I mean, you basically just have a high school diploma. And I'm going to tell everybody right now, it's almost blasphemous, but you talk to anybody with a high-end degree or whatever, but 99.9% of what you learn in the oil field, you learn on the job from somebody else. You're a shining example of that, and I don't know how many times I've told your story to high school students, like, hey, you think, you know, oh my gosh, you know, I just got a high school diploma, what am I going to be able to do with that? And you're a shining example of, like I said, you got through high school. I know it was tough your senior year, and you quit college. You know, like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do now? Work at the corner of Quickville or Best Buy? You didn't know, you know, and luckily.
I did get a job at Best Buy, by the way.
You did? Okay.
And I was going to sell cameras, which is funny now that I have
see? Yeah,
that
see?
Camera, but yep. I didn't know anything about them.
That's right. Anyways. See? Yep. But take a chance. Get in. You always have it on your resume that you worked in the oil field, even if it's a couple of months. And there's so many different facets of the business. Penn State did a study way back when I was with Range Resources. They wanted to know how many jobs are created with one shale well. And they figured out there's 150 different career jobs and 400 individuals associated with that. Yeah, tied into that with one well. Isn't that crazy? 150
so there's
different
an immense opportunity. Whether it's even
yep.
slow drilling, medium drilling, yep. I mean the jobs are still there.
Entry level, short term training, you know, bachelor's degree, master's degree, you name it. You know, but you could start right out of high school, 18 years old. You know, got to be able to pass a drug test. 9 out of 10 times, you got to have a clean driving record. A lot of companies though. They won't let you drive a company vehicle unless you're 21, but that's okay. They need people. They'll pick you up. They'll cart you around, whatever. But there's so many different opportunities, and you can move up. It's all up to you. You know, Sean.
You own it, right?
Yep.
What do I mean, I
opened
said
the
this
door.
Morning. You
exactly.
got to own it, right?
Yep.
Don't talk about it. Be about it.
That's right. I opened the door for you, but it was up to you. I couldn't. Be you when you're out there in that well location.
Well, if you ask, though, I mean, with this type of industry, I mean, they
yeah.
need people.
They sure do.
They're confident in you. I mean, the opportunity's there.
The opportunity's there, and they want to keep people. So, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of hours, but a lot of companies are seeing, like, we don't want to burn the good workers out either, too. So, you know what I mean? So, they'll give you bonuses and time off and stuff like that. So.
And a lot of companies are starting to make that shift, though. Because I
yes.
know when I first started in the industry, I mean, I didn't have much time off at all. And
right, right.
There were some challenges with that. I know we talked about it, but.
Right, right.
A lot of these companies are starting to open up that schedule. And I think they're, you know,
exactly.
as other companies are worried about, you know, the work environment, I think.
Yep.
There's a lot of that coming into the oil field, whether it's, you know, home time home with family, diversity.
Right.
I mean, it's not your father's oil field.
Right,
know?
Right.
I mean, it's changed a lot.
Right.
So.
And you know, when you're home, you'll have your time off. When you have your time off, you'll be ready to go back to work because that's like your second family.
Yeah,
out
I mean,
there.
You spend so much time with those people.
You spend so much time with those people, and you go through so much different things. You know, whatever, so that, and that just becomes your way of life. It's yeah. it's in your blood.
And that's something I want to bring up is like, cause,
yeah.
so you're talking about not burning bridges.
Right.
And like those relationships that have carried you back, you know,
mm-hmm.
to potential other jobs.
Right.
And people being like your family.
Right.
And I think, like you said too, I mean, it's not all technical pipes, learning school. And I think the one value that I've learned, especially too, it is those people in that industry. You know,
right.
learning how to communicate, working with different crews.
Right.
You know, setting, like, how you work and how you talk together. And there's
exactly.
there's a lot of high value in that
yep.
as far as
it'll,
people.
It, you know, for parents out there watching this, it'll grow your kids up just like the military. You know, it will because, you know, the guys that are out there, it's like, you know, the people, you know, I mean, if you're out there and you do a 16 hour, you know, day and you're waiting for your relief to come in and they don't show up and all of a sudden you got to pull a double and you had plans, you know, mm-hmm. you know, that guy's going to have to face you to, you know, the next time that he comes in. So it's like, it'll make people grow up. It'll make people have responsibility. I mean, you know, you came right out of high school. A lot of high school kids, They like to sleep, you know. They like to play games and this and that. And their parents are like, well, what are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? So that's one thing that I think it'll do is it'll grow your sons and daughters up pretty quick, you know. And then they'll see like, wow, this is, you know, if I'm responsible, I take responsibility. And like we talked, I mean, when you turn 21 and whenever I talk about, you know, Sean or some of these other younger oil field workers, you know, to high school kids or whatever, I said, these guys aren't missing out on any fun. They have fun, but they do it all responsibly. You know, if you go downtown and you want to have a couple of drinks at night, you get a ride home because, you know, the ramifications of you losing your license or something like that.
And you can't work.
You can't work. So it grows you up. It puts you in that state of mind.
Well, and
you know?
I think for me, it made me more organized and regimented.
Right? Right.
But I think the high value in it, too, though, is you make a significant amount of money compared to your peers in other industries, right?
Exactly. Yes, yes.
But with the schedule, too, like I saw ways, and this is cool because I think a lot with the Instagram, Facebooks, like nowadays people see all these travel blogs and stuff.
Right,
but
I
took advantage of like, hey, I can afford to go on all these, you know, vacations and stuff.
Right.
I think that's, you can kind of live it's definitely a different life, but I mean, you can live pretty entertaining, cool, a lot of different things. And there's a lot of opportunities there that industry opens up for you, right? Whether that's traveling outside of work, or I mean, you can go pretty much anywhere you want in the world.
You'll have a pretty sizable bank account. I mean, you will, you know, early, and it'll shock a lot of people. I remember when you first were telling somebody, around where we lived, like what you were making, you got to be kidding me. There's no way, you know. But yeah, way, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's kind of a negative context.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
No
college degree.
Yeah.
Someone who's been in their career for like 20 years.
Oh, I always said, you know, you can make that kind of money legally. You know what I mean?
But to be honest, I find more value. My boss never will see this, but you know, they could pay me less, but with that kind of schedule, and to be honest,
right,
the work environment that industry provides, I mean, for me,
right,
it's fun. You know,
yeah, you might get out.
I look forward to going back to work.
Yeah, you might get out a two-week off type hitch type thing, which is kind of cool, or you know what I mean?
Well, only work half a year?
Yeah, I know, right?
Tell me who else does that.
Exactly, yeah. So, you could do pretty well for yourself, and you'll have a nice career, nice way of life, and like I said, and you might... I've seen a countless number of times start your own company. You know, I don't know how many millionaires, how many people I've seen since this whole shale thing started up here.
Taking advantage.
In our neck of the woods.
Right?
They've started, guys have went off that work for service companies or whatever, and they've started their own companies and they're multimillionaires. You know, they'll probably be retired before me. You know, but it's cool. It's fun. It's unique. You know, especially as being a geologist, when I go in and talk to school age kids, I said, first question I have, you know, I'm Mike, I'm a geologist, I can still consider myself a geologist. I said, how many geologists do you know? Nobody raises their
rock
hand.
Nerds.
Yeah, they, you know me now. Yeah, that's cool. You want to be unique? You want to be, you know, in high school, they always want to be unique. They want to do something different. I said, become a geologist. It's cool. There's so many different facets just in geology you can get into. You can study volcanoes. Where are most of the volcanoes in the United States?
Hawaii.
Are you kidding me?
On the beach.
And you got a cool title, a volcanologist. Are you kidding me? You could study earthquakes in where are most of the earthquakes in the United States and become a seismologist. California, where I'm going in a couple of days. And
rub it in.
Exactly, yep. Or you could study fossils and become a paleontologist or a forensic geologist. That's a petroleum geologist. That's what's cool, you know. So there's so many different, and we could spend a week just talking about, like I said, each one of those different job and career facets of this business. I mean, surveying, GIS, environmental health and safety, Sean. When I give a job and career talk in a school, I said, yeah, there's geologists. Number one career path is petroleum engineering, obviously. But how many kids can take 4 years of physics, 4 years of calculus? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I thought I wanted to be an engineer until I found that out. I said, no way. You know what I mean? I said, I needed something out in the field. I thought I wanted to be a park ranger at one time. You know, find out there isn't a lot of jobs, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you find your niche in this business and the sky's the limit. You know what I mean? Or if you want to change like me.
Well, sky's the limit. How many hats? Yeah. And then on top of
how many times you thought, you know, you said, Mike, I think I might want to go back to school for something. Well, you know, now at this point in time,
but it's
right?
funny, like also too, but there's so many different facades to like the oil industry, right? Because right? I'm passionate about it, but right. I mean, you can be involved in, you know, the assets of it. I mean, human
exactly.
resources,
exactly.
supply chain, building, contracts.
Yep.
I mean, the land, you know, dealing with the owners, PR. I mean, the sky's the limit, right? I mean,
emissions. I mean, up here, water. And we
like
pay companies to test water.
That's huge.
Environmental's thing. Huge, yeah.
Yeah.
Environment. Work for the DEP up here, Department of Environmental Protection, if you want. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, so many work for companies that put in natural gas compressors, you know, that kind of a thing, or work for power plants. I mean, we're getting some natural gas kind of refining plants up here now in this part of the world. You could work in a facility like that if you want. So, yeah, sky's the limit, you know, so... But
So last thing before
yes,
we
sir.
Go.
I know I'm almost out of coffee.
Yeah, we gotta re-up. We'll save next podcast. We'll get a bigger cup for you.
There you go.
But what's the last thing you wanna leave the listeners, viewers with? Anything to take home if they are curious about the industry, and we'll obviously have a link to contact you below on this video. So if you have any questions, you can get in contact with Mike. Yeah. Anything, but before we go, anything you want to leave them with?
Yeah, any questions like that. I know, you know, especially parents are wondering, you know, what's my kid going to do? Or, you know, your kid is like, hey, I don't know exactly what I want to do. Yeah, I've talked to hundreds and hundreds of people, you know, and provided some hope and, you know, and some direction. You know, I think that's the basic thing, you know, with it is that... you know, countless, like I said, I go there, the parents locally, whatever, you know, I don't know what my son or daughter's going to do, and just provide some hope for you, I mean, you know, in this business, and they can work locally, which is kind of cool. This is another thing about the business, is that once you learn the oil field here, in your backyard here in Pennsylvania, or Ohio, or New York, and Appalachia, you can go out to Montana, Wyoming, Colorado.
Colorado and Texas.
Yeah, Colorado, Texas, North Slope of Alaska, offshore, onshore Australia. You know, the sky is the limit. Yeah, because wherever anybody's drilling in the continental United States or wherever or around the world, I mean, you could be there. You could literally be there, you know. So, and like I said, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. You know, I mean, you could be an 18-year-old, you know, kid right out of high school, you know, and provide an opportunity for you, a way of life.
Yeah.
That's right. Shining example.
Well, with that being said, Marcellus Mike,
all right.
Hey, I appreciate you coming over.
Yeah, anytime, man.
Enjoying the Tim Hortons coffee.
Awesome.
And if you need anything, like I said, just click the link below. We'll have on the YouTube or Facebook page or whatever for... get a hold of Mike if you have any questions. Appreciate you being here.
All right.
And
awesome.
We're going to go fill up our cups. So,
see you.